I remember, as many of you probably do too, being told as a child, or maybe you weren't told this as a child, but my dad used to always say, if at first you don't succeed, try, try, try again. I always wondered how many times I was supposed to try whatever it was I was trying that was never actually happening. I was never getting it. When it came to sports, it didn't seem to matter at all. But maybe gymnastics and dance, that worked. It helped in learning languages for sure, but not in the chemistry lab at all. So what about you? What are the things that you keep trying at and you're just not getting results? How do we know when we need to keep trying, when we need to persevere, and when we need to just let go, have a fresh start, or a new approach, or a different sport? Today's story is about perseverance and prayer, and it's really well placed. As I said earlier, the story fits in the middle of a series of stories about the faith of those who were deemed the absolute outcasts in the first century world. Knowing there was no better example of powerlessness in Jewish society than a widow, Jesus chose one such woman's feisty determination to exemplify his call to always pray and not give up. The story of the seemingly powerless little woman mercilessly pestering the ruthless judge into submission was undoubtedly as amusing then in the first century by the first people who heard it as it remains for us today if you really think about what's going on in the story. No one in Jesus' day was more vulnerable to poverty and exploitation than a woman whose husband and her means of support had died. Justice for the widow, though, was required by the Jewish law. It was something that was supposed to happen for them, to care for them. But adherence to the law, we're hearing here, particularly justice for the poor and the downtrodden, was not a high priority. Obviously, because we had, in the ancient world, they're telling us there were poor widows. But what about today? Are the poor and the downtrodden our priority today? The Old Covenant requirements for the care of the widows, as written in the book of Deuteronomy, as well as the stern warning against their mistreatment by, not that Isaiah was mistreating them, he gives the warning, they were features that the early church assumed too. When you think of the story of Jesus' widow, remember the widow's mite story, that widow that is poor that gives her last little bit of money in order to give to the offering, and was out of her absolute poverty she gave so much. That not only exemplified her faithfulness in giving all that she had, but it exposed the community's failure to secure her basic needs. A widow under the care of the early Christian community would also be understood by Luke's readers as a model of devotion. A woman without a husband to care for could devote herself fully to a life of prayer. So here, with the law on her side, this widow's only hope for justice and really for life was to appeal to the one charged with upholding the law in the first place. But unfortunately, this judge had absolutely no concern for his lawful duty. He neither feared God, nor had he any respect for people. The law mattered little to him. He did what he wanted to meet his own needs and his own ambitions. As a judge, he had power over the rich and the influential. The needs of a mere widow were not enough to merit his attention, not even a little bit. But he had no idea who he was really dealing with. So imagine the story acted out. Just as water can wear away a stone as it rubs against it over and over as the waves crash in, the widow's constant pleas for justice eventually penetrated the judge's indifference, his indifference to her and anyone like her. She wore him down like the water wears down a stone. And I found it interesting that what is often translated as the judge saying she wore me down or wear me out, it's actually from a Greek verb that's a boxing term that more literally means give a black eye. So basically we have a feisty widow that figuratively gives this great powerful judge a black eye, figuratively. So this beleaguered judge threw in the towel, feeling badgered and battered by her incessant petitions. And Jesus' audience overheard the judge's reasoning, though I have no fear, I'll grant her justice, whatever, just to get rid of her. But the crowd must have cheered at the widow's triumph on hearing the story. Think of it, sitting around listening to Jesus tell this story. Can you imagine that scene? Or what about today? Who do you know who is like that widow then? Who is the outcast that is filled with faith and persistent prayer that just keeps coming and coming with absolute hope and for the promise of God to be heard? Now, the point of the story, as you already know, is that faith and faithfulness are what is important in life and in prayer. Jesus told this to his disciples. To persevere in prayer takes faith. And if you just take it very simply, you're not going to keep praying if you don't have faith in your prayer ever being heard or being fruitful. Why would you? God's faithfulness is also the key in this, too. The emphasis is not only on the widow's persistence, but on God the righteous. So what Jesus is doing is he's employing the rabbinical practice of arguing from the lesser to the greater example. If even a corrupt judge must do justice, how much more will a righteous God do justice? But for us, like the widow, we must never lose heart. Because God is just, we can persist in faith. And no matter how many times, apparently, as Dad said, we can pray again. And God will hear and God will answer. But maybe what's going through your mind right now is, well, it didn't always work that way for me. Or when will God answer? Or how will God answer? At least that's what goes through my mind. I didn't get what I wanted. How does prayer influence God and the outcome of events? To me, that's the big question behind this. If we believe in a just God, how long do we have to pray? And does God answer prayer? And does God remain faithful? And yet Jesus, in many ways in the stories, he would just say yes, yes, yes. Jesus was raised Jewish. He lived and he spoke to fulfill the law and the prophets. So he would say, just look at the stories of the faithful of the past, and you will see and you will know God. You will know that God is there, God is here, God listens, God hears prayers, God responds. So we go to examples. Think of Jacob and his sons during the famine, needing food and going to Egypt. Yes, it was their brother Joseph there, but they had prayed and prayed, and then God works through Joseph to answer their prayers. They find a new place to live, and they are fed. Think of the Israelites in slavery, praying and praying for deliverance, and God answers their prayers in Moses, and they're led out of Egypt. Think of the Jews in Babylon. They pray and pray for rescue and to be able to go home, and God answers their prayers through Cyrus the Persian. We can think of the Jews living in the Roman Empire, persecuted and poor, having lost their land to so many victors. They prayed for help. They prayed for a Messiah, an anointed one from God, and Jesus came into their lives. And there are many individual cases, too, in the scriptures of persons praying for help, like Sarah and Hannah and David and Jeremiah and Moses and Jesus. And God answers their prayers. Faith is a requisite for persistent prayer. If you don't have faith that God will answer, you certainly don't keep praying. But there is a caveat here. Persistent prayer also means having the faith in the answer, even if it doesn't come out the way you wanted it. Even when and how you pray for persistently over and over if the answer isn't exactly what you figured you would get. So let's go back to those stories and we see it happen. The Israelites prayed, yes. But they didn't get exactly what they wanted when they wanted it. God gave them a deliverer, Moses, yep, who needed his brother to speak for him. And then when they were led into the wilderness, they were challenged, they were hungry, they were thirsty, they had to learn and grow in faith. They faced all sorts of things. But they did come closer to God, and only then did they get their promised land, see it, and be able to move to it. And we can look at the Jews who prayed for help under the Babylonians, and what did they get? They got a child prophet named Jeremiah to follow. But Jeremiah did show them to have faith, and the faith held them together through their wilderness and exile, where they had to learn to sing God's song in a whole new land and know that God was with them. But they were delivered eventually and set free to return home. Or, if we look at the Jews who prayed for freedom for a Messiah who would lead them away from the Romans, what they really wanted, they wanted a King David again. They wanted a good warrior who would be a king and warrior, lead an army, a strong leader, so that they could fight the Romans and take back it all. Kind of hard to do with the whole Roman Empire. But anyway, what they got was a political revolutionary who was a pacifist who only ever talked about God's kingdom and love one another and your enemies too. And yet, that Jesus changed the world. It goes the same for each of us. Pray, pray, and pray without ceasing, because God does hear, and God does respond. Are you prepared to listen and accept the answer? That's the question. Because sometimes what you pray for doesn't come exactly as you hope. Somehow, though, in the end, it's even better than you could have ever imagined. Somehow, God does answer the prayers and moves us into our own deliverance, our own rescue, or our own promised land. Faith is a requisite for persistent prayer. This is true. But faith is a requisite for trusting in the answer, both in what it is and through whom and when God gives it. And sometimes, at least in my experience, it is in praying for others that the love of God is made surprisingly known back to me. And so with the widow, we pray. And we pray persistently and faithfully. And in answer to Jesus' question, will the Lord find faith on earth? In prayer, we can say yes. And may it be so this day and always. Amen.